How many had just cheese? All right. How many had the pineapple? Wow, okay. All right, I'm not a real big pineapple guy. All right, so how many played nine square in the air? How many threw an axe? How many played volleyball? How many played basketball? How many played cornhole? And, oh, jostle! How many did the jostling? Yeah. Okay, we got to get more people doing that. All right. Okay, so we've had a good day. Now, I want to tell you something. I would have given anything to hear what I'm about to give you guys when I was a teenager. I'm going to give you my testimony, and I wish that I could have heard the message that you're about to hear. It would have helped me greatly in my Christian walk with the Lord. And I think, by the way, let me tell you what Satan is trying to do in your life. If you're saved, Satan is doing everything in the world to get you to think that you're lost. If you're lost, Satan is trying to do everything in the world to get you to think you're safe, you're saved. So if you're saved, he's trying to get you to think that you're lost. If you're lost, he's trying to get you to think that you're saved. He's giving you lies, either way you're going. I think today, if you listen and you open up your heart, and by the way, on a scale from 1 to 10 in the first service, and how well you listened, I'd have given you a 14. You did really good, okay? Amen. All right. But you're going to need to listen better in this service. Well, maybe, but praise the Lord. Okay, all right. And the truth that you are going to get today in this session is going to absolutely change your life forever. And I really do mean that. And I wish someone would have told me what you're about to get. Now, it is a doctrinal message. So you do have to listen, young person. You got to listen. And again, I did not come at 3:15 in the morning, wake up this morning, to give you fluff. I came to give you meat. How many like steak? Okay, this is steak, spiritually. This is steak. You gotta be able to chew it. You're not babes, so we're not giving you milk and baby food. You're gonna go away and go like, whoa, man, youth rally. I just thought the guy just talked to us about like surrendering our life to the Lord. Wow. That was some big doctrinal stuff he gave, all right? Look at the person next to you and say, I'm listening to this doctrine. You need to too. Yeah. Okay, all right. 2 Peter chapter number 1. So let me give you my testimony. Came from that broken home, but I got saved at 12. And a lot of things happened. Boy, that was an amazing thing for me to trust Christ. I came from a Catholic background. In other words, I was brought up and raised, be good, do good, look good. And at the end of your life, if your good outweighs your bad, you'll get to go to heaven. Well, I was 12 years old, and that wasn't working real good. I'm telling you, I wasn't good, and neither are you. We're sinners. We do what's wrong. At 12 years of age, I traded religion for a relationship with Jesus Christ. I got rid of the religion thing, and I got a relationship. You say, Brother Sheldon, you're a preacher, so you must be pretty religious. I'm not religious at all. I do not have a religious bone in my body. I am not about religion at all. I'm not here to give you religion. I am here to talk to you about a relationship with God. And that relationship with God comes through the person of Jesus Christ. If you get saved, you get a gift. Oh yeah, everlasting life. Yeah, that's true. But actually, salvation is not a thing. Salvation is a person. You receive a person. All right, I'm not sure I understand. Okay, so let me tell you something. On August 15th, 1980, August 15th, 1980, I believed in marriage. On August 15th, 1980, I wanted to be married. On August 15th, 1980, I was in love with somebody who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. On August 15th, 1980, I wanted to be married. I believed in marriage, but I wasn't married. On August 16th, 1980, I got married. There was a day when I wasn't married, and there was a day I was married. But what made the difference? Listen, I took a bride. I took Mary Lee to be my wife, and she accepted me, and I accepted her, and we got married. Now listen, I believed in marriage on August 15th. I wanted to be married, but I wasn't. Something had to happen. I had to receive a wife. Now listen to me. You may be here, and everyone get this. You may be here this afternoon, and you would say, I believe in heaven. I believe in Jesus, Brother Shetler. And I believe in heaven, okay? And I want to go to heaven, okay? But let me ask you, has there ever been a day that you received Christ as your Savior? Because if there's not, you can believe in heaven, you can believe in Jesus, and spend eternity in hell. There has to be a day where you receive Christ. Hey, we are not all born children of God. You've got to receive Christ to get into the family of God. So if you're here today and say, well, oh, I believe in heaven and I believe in Jesus. Hey, that's not going to be my question today. My question is, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? That is so important to understand. Okay, so I did this when I was 12. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. I didn't live right. If you would have known me at 15, 16, 17, you would have said, man, Jim Shetler, he is not a Christian. Have you ever heard him speak? I just guarantee you, you would have never thought I was a Christian by what I did, what I said, da, 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 da. But I do believe I was a believer, but I wasn't living for the Lord. So listen what happens. Now, this is really important. This gets to our message. So not every day, not every week, not every month, but about maybe once a year, I'd hear some good preaching. And I would struggle. And maybe I heard something about the rapture. All the saints are taken up out of the world. And I'm thinking, whoa, am I a saint? Am I a Christian? Do I know for sure I'm saved? And here's what would happen. Man, not what I'm thinking and what I'm saying, what I'm doing, maybe I never got saved. Maybe I've never been saved. God, if I've never been saved, I don't want to go to hell. I ask you right now, will you save me? I didn't do that every day. I didn't do it every week. I didn't do it every month. But being perfectly honest, probably about once a year, I'd get real convicted about hell. I'd get real scared about something. And I'd go like, man, the way I'm living, I don't think I'm a Christian. I don't think I could be a Christian and live the way that I'm living. I need to get saved again. Well, guys, you don't get saved again. You only get saved one time. All right? So I struggled with assurance of my salvation. I wasn't sure I was saved. Guys, this goes all the way into college. I go to a Bible college. I graduate from a Bible college. I'm going to be a preacher. And I am still struggling with this. There's times when I just think, oh, God. I remember at college about 3-4 times that after a chapel message, after a church service, somebody preached on hell or whatever, I went back to the dorms, went in the prayer room, knelt down and said, God, if I've never gotten saved, I want to get saved right now. I pray and I ask Jesus to save me. Guys, I probably did that 12, 15 times in my life. Well, Brother Shetler, what was your problem? Now listen, 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm traveling as a college rep and I'm 22 years old. I've graduated and I'm preaching every day. And I read this passage of scripture and I went like, whoa, okay, I have never seen this before in my life. Why hasn't anyone ever preached this? So I gotta tell you something, gang. Whenever I have a few opportunities to preach to teenagers, I'll usually preach this message because I think there are young people in this room that are on their way to heaven, but you struggle with assurance of salvation. There are times in your life where you go like, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Maybe I need to do this again. Maybe I need to pray this again. And some of you have prayed to receive Christ 4, 5, 6 times. Guys, you don't need to get saved again. You need to get right with God. Now, there's also people in this room that are not saved. You've never trusted Christ. And today is what, November 19th? Is that right? Today's November 19th, 2022. Today could be your spiritual birthday. Today, you could be born again, and today could be your spiritual birthday. Hey, let's all do something. This would be a lot of fun. All right, I'm gonna go 3, 2, 1. I want everyone to shout out your birthday, okay, the day you were born. Don't give the year, just give the month and the day, all right? All right, this will be fun, this will be fun. All right, you ready? 3, 2, 1. Yep, that's what I thought. Okay, so everyone's got a birthday, all right? Every one of you have a birthday. There was a day you were born physically. But in order to get to heaven, you have to have two birthdays. You have to be born once physically, and you have to be born again spiritually. There has to be a spiritual birthday. Okay, so I happen to know my spiritual birthday. My spiritual birthday was November 8th, 1969. I was at a church retreat, and it was there as a 12-year-old boy, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, November 8th, 1969. Now, my wife, she got saved at 4. She does not know the day she got saved. She knows she got saved, but she does not remember the day, and she has no clue what she prayed. By the way, I don't remember what I prayed, but I know I received Christ on November 8th, 1969. I have 3 sons. They're all in ministry. They all got saved, but Drew and Ben got saved at 4 too. They do not remember that. They do not have a spiritual birthday. They do not know what day, but they know they got saved. Luke got saved, he's special needs. I have a special needs son. He got saved a little bit older, like 10, 11, but he doesn't remember the day either. I'm the only one in the Shetler family that knows the spiritual birthday. However, every one of my family knows there was a time that they got saved. Now listen to me. You don't have to know your date that you got saved. Oh, I remember. It was a vacation Bible school, da-da-da-da. Well, that's great. If you don't have that, it's okay. But this is important. Do you know that there was a time? Yeah, but I don't remember what I prayed. I've always wondered, maybe I didn't pray the right thing. No. It's not about your prayer. It's about faith in Christ. Okay, so you may not remember I do not remember what I prayed, but I know I asked Christ to be my Savior. Do you remember a time that you asked Christ to be your Savior? You may not remember the date, you don't remember what you prayed, but do you remember a time when you prayed to receive Christ? Okay, so that's what we're gonna look at today. This is called eternal security. We'll get to that in just a moment. If you've ever trusted Christ, you are saved, and you can't ever lose that. But assurance of salvation, we're gonna look at that right now. Y'all got your page? 2 Peter chapter 1, everybody there. I want every person in here to be there. 2 Peter chapter 1, here we go. We're gonna start at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Okay, that's your responsibility, guys. Giving all diligence. That's not up to God, that's up to you. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. I'm gonna explain what that means in a minute. Add to your faith virtue, moral purity. And to virtue, knowledge, experiential knowledge of God's word. You're living out what you believe. And knowledge, temperance, self-control. You're not living off your feelings. You're not a drama person. You got you're under control. Patience, steadfast endurance. You start something, you don't quit. And to patience, godliness, God-likeness. People look at you and go like, wow, you're like the Lord. You're like Jesus. You're like God because of your character. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. You're nice to one another. You share. You're kind. You don't tear people up. You have brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, love. You forgive. You love other people. You treat them right. You're never a bully. All of those things. You say, Brother Shelley,
That's quite a list.
Oh, it is. Add to your faith moral purity, to moral purity, the experience of living out God's word, self-control of your emotions, steadfast endurance, God-likeness, being brotherly kind to one another, sharing, just being nice to people. And a brotherly kindness, charity, forgiving people, thinking about others more than yourself. Brother Scheller, I'm not doing real good with that list. Okay, now listen, I'm 22 years old and I wasn't doing good with that list either. Now look at this, verse 8. For if these things, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, if you're doing these things, you're going to know the Jesus. You're going to know Jesus. Now, that isn't what got you saved, but you're going to know him. But look at verse 9. Nobody ever showed me verse 9. But he that lacketh these things. There have been times in my life that I have lacked the things I just mentioned. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. Whoa. Whoa. And hath everyone together, because we're all in the same place. What is the next word? And hath what? Everyone together. Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Was the guy saved? Yes. What was his problem, though? He forgot that he was saved. All right, I'm going to tell you this. I was 22 years old, went to Bible college, saved at 12. Nobody ever told me that you could be saved and not know it. In other words, if you're saved, you're going to know that you're saved. Not according to this. If you're not living right, you're going to forget that you were purged from your old sins. Okay, you say, Brother Schottler, what does this mean? Look at the next verse. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Hey, that's your responsibility, buddy, to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now listen, nobody ever shared this with me. Teenager, look at the person next to you and say, hey, listen up right now. Listen up right now. You got it? You got it? Everyone there? All right, now listen to this. Whether or not you go to heaven depends on what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. It's a gift. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, now listen to me. Whether or not you go to heaven depends upon God. It depends on Christ. But whether or not you have assurance depends on you. Your salvation is on Christ. The assurance of your salvation is on you. Not sure I understand this. Okay, now listen. Growing up, after I got saved, I'm telling you, at least once a year, I pray, God, give me assurance of my salvation. That's a request God will never answer. God will never give you an assurance of your salvation. You know why? It's not his responsibility. His responsibility is making sure you are saved and you stay saved. Your responsibility is to know that you have assurance, that you know that you're saved. Brother Scheller, not sure I understand. I never heard this before. That's right. And so many people are messed up because of this. And you tell you what they do. They take assurance of salvation and they combine it with eternal security. The Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth, we're going to take these two doctrines and we're going to separate those two doctrines. I want to talk a little bit about eternal security just to make sure that you know, like, if I was ever saved, then I still am. And then I want to talk to you about assurance of salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. Lord, we had a good lunch. It's afternoon. I believe these young people will listen. I believe this may be the reason why you brought me here today. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would arrest their attention. There's no reason why a 14-year-old girl and a 16-year-old guy cannot listen for 25, 30 minutes. So, Father, I pray that their heart will be attentive. May they not look at their telephones. May they not bother each other. May they say, "Dear God, I want to learn this truth. I want to learn doctrine." And I believe that these teenagers can do it. And Lord, I don't care, it's the afternoon. I think the Holy Spirit can guide, direct in all truth. May this message change their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. Eternal security. So, if you ever trusted Christ as your Savior, you have everlasting life. Okay, now listen. Can everlasting life ever end? If everlasting life ever ended, it wasn't everlasting. Guys, if you ever had everlasting life, if you ever received everlasting life, guess what? You still got it. Because everlasting life can never end. So if there's ever been a time in your life that you trusted Christ as your Savior, God gave you everlasting life, and you are still his child. Number two, by the way, God's people said, praise the Lord. Isn't that great? Matter of fact, think about that. Guys, when you got saved, what kind of life did you get? Everlasting life. Guys, you can't ever lose that. That is an amazing thing. Number two about this. Okay, I've told you already about five times, I have three boys. So I was there the day all three of my boys were born. Matter of fact, I'm the first one who got to see all three of them. And Ben, when he was born, January 19, 1983, I was the first one to see him. I got to cut the umbilical cord. I was the first one to hold him. I was there the day Benjamin Daniel Shetler was born. I was there. I helped Mary Lee through the delivery. You know, we did the breathing thing. You know, we did the Lamas, we did the whole thing, you know? I was her coach, you know, I don't think I did a real good job. But anyways, I was there the day Ben was born. Now, let's say my son, the preacher who I was with at last night at a banquet that he spoke at, let's say Ben gives me a call. And he calls me up. Oh, guys, I gotta take this. This is my son, Ben. Yeah, hey, Ben. My name is not Ben. Ben, what's going on? I've changed my name. I am no longer your son. This will be the last phone call you will ever hear from me. I've changed my name. I've changed my phone number. I will never call you again. I don't ever want to be called a Shetler. I don't ever want to be called your son again. And I say goodbye forever. And he hangs up. Everyone together. Is he still my son?
Yes.
No, guys, you didn't hear what I just said. He just said that he's no longer my son. He just said that he's changed his name. He just said that he never wants to talk to me again. Everyone together, is Ben still my son?
Yes.
Is he my son?
Yes.
Why? I think we had some good answers there, man. It doesn't matter because he was born into my family. Hey, guys, listen to this. Bible says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them that received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you have ever received God, if you've ever received Christ as your Savior, you recognize he loves you, you're a sinner, there's a payment for your sin, which is hell, and you believe Jesus took your place and died and suffered for you on the cross, was buried and rose again, and I don't care if you were 6 years old, you understood. and you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you became a child of God. And I'm going to tell you this. If you've ever trusted in Christ, you become a child. Now listen, this is so important. Every person has been, God has been their creator. But God is not everybody's father. Now hear this. God is not your father if you've never trusted his son. You got into the family because of Jesus. If you've never received Jesus, you're not in the family. You say, oh, so you're better than me. No, stop. Here's what I mean by that. God, he's got you here at this youth rally for the very purpose to get into the family. I'm just telling you right now, if you're not saved, there is a reason why you're here today. God is reaching out to you, and he's wanting you to be in the family. He's saying Jesus died for you. He wants you to receive him. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you are God's creation, but you are not God's child, because you have to trust Christ to get into the family. But once you are in the family, you can't ever lose that position. Ben Shetler is my son. He was born in my family. He will always be. Number one, you got everlasting life. Everlasting life can never end. Number two, you were born in the family. One more little thing about eternal security, because I just love it. Okay, I call it the power argument. No man, the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 27, no man can pluck you out of his hand. You are held by God. And I don't care what you do, and I don't care where you go. Once God's got a hold of you in his love, nothing can separate you from the love of God. He's got a hold of you. Let me go real quickly back to Ben, when he was a little guy. Okay, so how many of you are the baby of the family? I'm the baby of the family. All right, now let me tell you. So I was the baby of the family by a lot. I have a brother 14 years older than me, a sister 9 years older than me, and a sister 7 years older than me. I wasn't supposed to happen, okay? But here I am. But anyways, I'm the baby, so I was never around babies because I was the baby of the family, so I never was around babies. So when Ben was born, I didn't have a clue. I mean, I put a football in the crib and I said, come on, I'm ready. But I don't know what to do with you. You know, I never changed a diaper in my entire life, but I did after Ben was born. I didn't know what I was doing, man. I didn't know anything. So one day, I said to Marilee, hey, Marilee, I'm going to take, Ben was just learning how to walk. You know, he's got those little chubby legs, you know, they're just learning how to walk. I think he was about like 10, 11 months old. And I said, hey, I'm going to take Ben out for a walk. You be careful. I said, yeah, I got this. So we went outside. I put my hand down, cutest thing in the world. He grabs a hold of my little pinky. He's got a hold of my little pinky, and we're just walking along, you know. I just say, this is so good being a dad. We walk along, and he steps on something. I don't know, a little stick, a stone, a crack in the concrete, I don't know. He stepped on something, and he did the worst thing he could have done. When he stepped on it, he let go. And when he let go, he fell flat on his face. If you saw him today, you would know why he looks the way he... No, I'm just... Don't tell him I said that. Don't tell him. Yeah. Yeah, so he falls. He scrapes his nose, his forehead. He's bleeding. He's screaming. I bring him in. I go, honey. She says, "You bring him. What are you doing? You don't know what you're doing with this kid. You stay away from him." You know, and everything like that. I went, About 2 weeks later, Marilee's out shopping. I said, "Hey, Ben, can go for a walk? Walk, Dad." Now, he's still got the scabs, okay? He's still got the scabs. And I said, "What? You want to go for a walk, Ben?" Ben, "Yeah, Daddy." So I said, come on, we'll go out for a walk. So we go out, I put my hand out, and he reached out, he picks my little pinky, and I go, no. And I reach down, and I grab his wrist. Now, we got a different ball game now. Before, it was Ben holding on to Dad. Now, it's Dad holding on to Ben. And we start walking, and as we start walking, he falls. And I just pick him up, and we go a little bit further, and he starts walking, and he falls. And I hold on to him. You know what? I'm not letting go of him. My wife will kill me. I'm not letting go of him. You know what? Young people, hear this. Your salvation is not dependent on how you're holding on to God. God, I'm doing my best. God says, no, I'm holding on to you. And I want to tell you something. There is nothing that can get you loose from God's loving hand in your life. Now, you hear this. If you have ever trusted Christ as your Savior, you got everlasting life, you became a child of God, and you're held by the power of God. Everyone together, you have what? Everyone together. Eternal security, and that is depends on who? God. However, I'm 16 years old, I'm at camp. Man, I don't think I ever got saved. I don't think I ever trusted the Lord. I mean, I'm not living right. I'm looking at stuff, I'm saying stuff, I'm doing stuff. Man, maybe I was never saved. My assurance is dependent on me. My salvation is dependent on God. Are you guys all with me? I sense that you guys are. Do you understand this? Now, very quickly, I'm not going to go, I want to, but because of the time and everything, and you guys need to get out and play. So I just want to bring one thing. I'm not going to go all the way through the list, but I want to talk about one thing. Look at verse 5 where it says, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Okay, so, teenager, you need to hear the next 7 minutes. Marilee and I moved from a place called Santa Maria, California, which was paradise. It was, okay, first of all, more strawberries. How many like strawberries? Okay, Santa Maria, California, strawberry capital of the world. 20% of all strawberries in the world come out of Santa Maria Valley. It's because they grow them 11 months out of the year. All those Driscoll strawberries that you see dipped in chocolate, Santa Maria, California. Okay, I mean, they're just gorgeous. Okay, so now listen to this. This is so good. It's beautiful. Anything you plant grows there. Matter of fact, it's got such a moderate climate, everything on planet Earth can grow in Santa Maria Valley. Peaches to bananas. Cauliflower, broccoli, it doesn't matter. Anything that grows on planet Earth grows in Santa Maria. It's a paradise. It's just beautiful. It never gets colder than 45 and never gets hotter than 85. It's beautiful. My wife loved it. You know what I did? We're going to Lancaster. Oh, you laughing. You don't know. Lancaster is a desert. It is the armpit of California. And that's where God called me, okay? I mean, it's a desert. There's nothing that grows there. My wife goes like, wow, Jim, we lived in Santa Maria and we came to Lancaster. Well, this is where the Bible College is. And what does grow in Lancaster are college students for Jesus. So that's pretty cool. Okay, so anyway, nothing grows though on the ground, I'm just telling you. Okay, so I did something for my wife because I love Marilee. So I did something for her. I bought her a house. Hey, 3,250 square feet. I put a pool in the backyard. Hey, come on, man. And do you know what my wife said to me? Jim, we got to get stuff in the house. What is your problem? I just bought you a 3,250 square foot home. I put a pool in it. Marilee, what is your problem? What do you need? Jim, we need like a refrigerator. Oh yeah, we do, yeah, we gotta add that. Put the refrigerator in there. Jim, a couch? Oh yeah, we gotta have a couch. TV? No question, we gotta watch college football. Yeah, no question, we gotta get a TV. Jim, we gotta have a bed. Oh yeah, that is true, we gotta sleep at night. We gotta have a bed. Table and chairs? Oh yeah, we gotta get that too. You know what we did? Everyone hear this, this is so cool. We added to our house. We added these things to our, I bought Marilee the house! And then we added to the house. Now hear this. The Bible says, add to your faith. I've been preaching for 43 years, guys. I've been in ministry for 43 years. I've been preaching to teenagers that whole time. I don't know of anyone that preaches to more, I know that there are. But I don't know of anyone that preaches to more teenagers in a year than I do. I probably preach to 15 to 20,000 teenagers a year. I hear this. Let me tell you, there's a major problem. And here's a major problem. Most of the teenagers I preach to are saved. They got their house of faith, but they don't have anything in it. They have not added anything to their house of faith. Brother Scheller, that thing about receiving Jesus, I've done that, great. Where's your virtue? Where's your brotherly kindness? Where's your patience? Where's your temperance? You're so emotional, you're all feeling oriented. Your mind is in the gutter most of the time. You got all kinds of things. You're bitter towards friends. You bully people. But I have a house of faith. I trust in Jesus. Great. Start adding to your house of faith. And guys, if you're not adding to your house of faith, you're going to struggle on whether or not you were ever saved. It's time to start living what you say that you are. You say that you're a Christian. Well, let me tell you something. You're salt then, but if you're so contaminated by the world, Jesus said, you are good for nothing. That's what Jesus said. If salt has gotten contaminated by the world, you are good for nothing. And I mean this. And I think you can tell I got a little bit of a heart for you guys, but I am gonna tell you this, guys, because the Bible says it. You may be the salt. You may be saved. But I'm going to tell you, if you have not added anything to your faith, you are good for nothing. Brother Scheller, God loves me. You know he does. He absolutely does, and he absolutely will forgive you. But I'm just telling you, you aren't good for anything until you start adding to your faith. And then comes the assurance. Now listen, you do not get saved by doing things. But because you're saved, you ought to start adding to your faith. I believe this with all my heart. I think there may be some here that have never trusted the Lord. We're going to give you a chance in just a second. But I believe the majority of you here know Christ. But you have not added to your faith. And you struggle with this every once in a while, don't you? You wonder, I don't know if I'm saved. Maybe I need to get saved again. No, you don't need to get saved again. You need to start adding to your faith. And God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, now, we're almost done. I'm going to ask Youth Pastor Luke, come on up here for a minute. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John. That's almost at the very end, just about right before Revelation. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Okay. Pastor Luke, I got a couple things here. What is this? Bible. Okay. So Pastor Luke, we're going to call this Bible Jesus. Okay, which could really work because Jesus is the living word. Okay, so we're going to call this, what is this? The word, okay, it's going to be Jesus now, okay? Pastor Luke, what is this? This is Jesus, okay? Everyone together, what's this?
Jesus,
okay? I got something else. What do I got? Everyone together, what do I got?
Jesus.
My ticket to heaven, okay? My ticket to heaven. Okay, now, I'm going to take my, and I'm going to put it inside of Jesus. Are you guys looking at 1 John chapter 5? Look at verse number 11. And this is the record, that he that hath the Son hath light. Now look at this. Look at verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Y'all looking at that? And now watch this. What's this? What's this? Take it to heaven. Now watch what Pastor Luke's going to do. Receive Jesus. You just received Jesus. Now that you've just received Jesus, Pastor Luke, what else you got? Take it to heaven. Now listen, everyone. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Young person, this is not rocket science. This is being honest with your soul. Have you ever received Jesus? Because if you have received Jesus, everyone together, what else do you have?
Yeah.
Everlasting life, your ticket to heaven. Now, thank you, Pastor Luke. Now listen to me. This is really good. If I asked you right now, are you saved or lost? Bad question right now. Now, I go around, I talked to a guy this morning at the airport, Edgar. I talked to him, I asked him, I said, hey, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Okay, so I use that all the time. But just for a moment, bad question. The question is not whether you're saved or lost. The question is not whether you're going to heaven or hell. Here's the question. The question is, have you ever received Christ? Because if you have received Christ, you got everlasting life. If you have not received Christ, you don't have everlasting life. Okay. So, how many answers to this question? Have you ever received Jesus? Well, there's two. No, there's not. There's three. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Yes, sir, I have. Okay, start adding to your faith, friend. Start living what you say you are. No, I've never received Christ. Then let November 19th, 2022 be your spiritual birthday. Receive Christ. But here's the third answer. You guys know what it is? I don't know. I don't know. Brother Sheldon, don't be upset with me. I know you just went through the whole thing, but I don't know if I've ever received Jesus. Okay, I get that all the time. If you can honestly say, after everything I've taught, if you can honestly say, I'm just being honest with you, I don't know if I've ever received Christ, I would do that right now then. I would not fool with that any longer. If I can, after what I've taught, if I ask you, have you ever received Christ, and you say, I don't know if I ever have, Brother Shuttler, then you know what? November 19th, 2022, you ought to get it taken care of. You ought to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and settle it once for all. Now, you hear me. I'm going to ask all these questions in a minute. We're all going to have our heads bowed, okay? I ask you, have you ever received Christ? And you say yes, then I'm going to ask, how you doing adding to your faith? How you doing adding to your house? Some of you need to start living what you say you believe. And you need to get right with God. You don't need to get saved. You need to get right with God. Okay. Some of you go like, yeah, I am not saved. I know I'm not saved. And I know I'm not going to heaven, but I want to. Well, today, receive the gift. And that gift is Jesus Christ. You ask Christ to come into your heart and to save you. I think God is going to do something today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I pray that you will guide this invitation. And I pray today, if there's some young people that have really struggled, that today they would get it settled. Lord, I pray for those that are saved, that they would start adding to their faith the way that they ought. I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't want anyone looking for just a moment.